As always on the Trending 55 Hot Seat, we make it a habit to check in weekly with a member of the NDP caucus. And this week, we're actually speaking with the first member that joined us here when we started this one, and that is Shannon Phillips, the MLA for Lethbridge West and also the finance critic, and also as well the former Minister of Environment, Parks and Climate Change. Ms. Phillips, welcome back. Great to have you on today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Kenny.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess the first one, in that we saw it on Twitter, pretty pointed statements where Parkland Laxing and MLA Shane Getson had some pretty interesting comments for people that are collecting CERB, and I think you made no bones about like how you felt, what you thought about that statement. Your overall thoughts on Getson's statements?
Well, I mean, look, a million Albertans applied for CERB since the pandemic started. We have had families really struggling across this province. That's one in four people in this province that have applied for these benefits. And to see a UCP MLA, a politician whose, you know, his paychecks never stopped through the pandemic, to stand up there and make fun of people was, to my mind, you know, it kind of like showing us who they work for, right? And you know, this is a guy who voted in favor of giving away billions of dollars to already profitable corporations, and they have created no jobs here. Albertans are struggling, and he's making fun of them, saying that, you know, you're spending your money on cheesies, when, you know, I know a lot of people who had to go on CERB or other forms of EI and other forms of assistance during the pandemic. And you know what they spent that money on? Utilities, mortgages and rent, cell phone bills, stuff for the kids. In other words, the things that we are all trying to do just to get by.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So I definitely could seem insensitive for sure. And another thing as well is that we had seen this too, another one released by the caucus, and this is a real interesting one, and that is increase of insurance. According to lowrates.ca, we have seen a 22% increase from last year to this year in the increase in insurance. And I had understood that, and this is before I had gotten out here, that under the previous government, that the NDP had a cap of 5%. And I'm guessing that the NDP feels that that should have been extended based on the fact that we'd seen rates go up 22% in some cases, depending on your policy, even more than that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an average, right? And people are seeing their car insurance and their house insurance go through the roof. But when we were in government, you know, we had these big profitable insurance companies come to us and plead poverty. And when you look at the numbers that are in the government's own superintendent of insurance report, it shows that, in fact, these massive companies who are coming to us, you know, pleading poverty out of Toronto, are not actually struggling. The people who are struggling are ordinary Albertans. And so that's why we said, okay, look, here's a compromise. Big insurance companies, you can do a 5% increase per year, but no more. And if you can't figure it out how to be continue to be massively profitable as you are right now, then that's not our problem as a government, right? Because you will treat consumers fairly in this province. That was the position we took. So new government comes in. One of the first things they do is one of Jason Kenney's buddies becomes a lobbyist for the insurance companies. They take that cap off. People's insurance by last fall started to go up. And now we are seeing just how much. Now, what the government also did was they asked for a report. This is a classic thing when a government doesn't really want to make a decision about something, or they want to make an unpopular decision, but they want an excuse to do it. They asked for a report about, you know, what they should do with the future of insurance.
Right.
And that report is sitting on the finance minister's desk. And so, you know, I think Albertans deserve to see it. I think I want to know for my constituents what they have in mind for people's car insurance during a pandemic, when they are have lost their jobs, when 1 million Albertans have applied for CERB or other benefits. People are struggling. The last thing we need to do is get a bill in the mail when we go to renew our truck or our car that shows that it's going up by, you know, a couple hundred bucks or more.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I'm not going to lie. I saw mine come in a couple of weeks ago for my car and home, and yeah, it was up, that's for sure. But in saying that, you'd mentioned that there's a report on the finance minister's desk, and we know that the legislature is going to be starting up towards the end of the month here. Is that going to be an opportunity where you're going to ask Minister Taves, where is this report and when do you plan to show it to everybody?
Well, honestly, if he has it already, I don't think that we should have to wait 3 weeks for it. I think that's ridiculous. He should just be talking to Albertans and consulting with us on how, you know, if we do have problems in the insurance industry, let's be clear of what they are and figure out how to weigh to solve them without sticking Albertans with the bill and letting already extremely wealthy corporations get off scot-free. But we're seeing a lot of costs being downloaded onto ordinary people, right? So throughout Alberta, we've got rural property taxes where there's a real crisis there. We've got the government has stiffed rural municipalities with the bill for more police. There's no question that if we want our law enforcement numbers to keep pace with the growth in population, that we need to invest. But stiffing municipalities with the bill, certainly not something that UCP campaigned on. But here we are. People are having to pay these big bills now. And that's just a couple of examples, right? So the fact is that this goes to paying for the fact that they've given away billions of dollars to companies that aren't creating jobs, that took that money and said, thank you very much, and stashed it outside of the province or the country. And we are not seeing an economic recovery. GDP numbers came out yesterday. The Canadian economy is recovering. Alberta's economy is not. Oil and gas, manufacturing, other sectors are not recovering like they are in the rest of the country. So clearly, we have a problem with the UCP and Jason Kenney's approach to jobs and the economy. And, when faced with the clear evidence that we are not creating jobs here and this cutting taxes for wealthy billionaires didn't work, they should do something else. And so far, they haven't said that they're going to, but I think that this is an opportunity for them to be open to new ideas, to get beyond some of this brittle partisanship and just, figure out ways to get Albertans back to work.
No doubt. And also, Ms. Phillips, looking at the report that was released by Doug Wiley, the Auditor General for Alberta, kind of paints a picture of Alberta's Emergency Management Agency, if they have an effective system to coordinate a provincial hazard assessment, including like some disasters like floods, fires, things like that, which could be traced back to climate change. And it seems like the Auditor General, which is an independent, nonpartisan office, has given quite a report saying that if there are really more types of natural disasters, that the province may not be as ready for it as they should be.
Well, I think having seen the management of a natural disaster up close, and there's no question that the Auditor General is right that we need to bring our hazard assessment into the 21st century, into line. But we've also done some really important things, right? In the aftermath of the Fort McMurray fire, there were a number of recommendations that we started implementing right away, right? And some of these things take a couple of years. Some of them we did right away. In the aftermath of the 2013 flood, when we took power in 2015, there was still a lot of work to do around flood mapping. So I, as Minister of Environment, we got down to work on that right away. And some of that affected folks in the north as well, not just in and around Calgary, where, of course, the 2013 flood was the worst. So, there's no question that there's a sort of a drumbeat of government. And in particular, in Alberta, we need to be ready for these more frequent and severe weather events and natural disasters, floods, fires, and so on. We're extremely vulnerable. We know this. Because we commissioned a report on it, a scientific assessment of this, which the UCP buried because it, said the words climate change in it. So there's no question we have work to do. There's no question that we have to make sure the resources are there for emergency response and preparedness. So doing things like cutting some of the firefighting programs like the UCP did last year, not great. And there's no question that there's various kinds of emergencies. And we are in one right now with a global pandemic. And
right.
Here again, what we see is the UCP has cut healthcare and they've gone to war with doctors and they're chasing them out of rural communities. And there's just been some more news on that today. We've revealed documents that they knew how bad it was, even though they stood up in the legislature and lied about it. So, at some point here, we need a level of seriousness of getting beyond just, the politics of blame and division and all this other stuff, and to say, look, Alberta, in our economy and in our services and our agricultural communities, our rural communities, are really facing some serious challenges. And we need some serious people to do some serious solutions. So, standing up and making fun of people for eating cheesies while, somehow cheating on CERB, that's not going to cut it. right? Like that UCP MLA did. It's not, that is not a serious group of people who actually care about the challenges that are facing ordinary working class people in this province.
Yeah, fair enough. And also, again, I guess one of the things that we heard about, and I'm sure in the riding of Lethbridge West, it probably made enough headlines up there as it did here, and that's the provincial review for linear assessments for oil and gas companies. And I know a few mayors and reeves from from the Peace and Mackenzie regions actually went down to the legislature and turned their backs to the building in protest. Are you aware of like some mayors and reeves within your riding, Lethbridge West, that have expressed the same concern over this assessment review?
Well, you know, Lethbridge and Peace River share a beautiful river valley and that similar kind of topography. But my area is more the city, right? Having said that, the county around Lethbridge and others, the MD of Tabor, all around, MD of Pincher Creek, a lot of them are freaking out about this. There's no question. Folks are worried, just as they are up in the north, right, that this, again, is going to really challenge municipal finances and really stick rural homeowners and other business people with bigger bills. It does have an effect on the towns as well. So it will have an effect on Peace River itself, as well as, you know, the city of Lethbridge itself and its surrounding communities. I think the broader point here, it's a bit complicated, but it won't be complicated when people get the tax bills, right? And they've gone up by several hundred dollars or more, right? Like, it's a complicated issue, but the outcome of basically sticking Albertans with the bill for giving away billions of dollars in a tax cut, you know, and then you turn around to municipalities, big and small, and say, oh, sorry, we don't have any money. You know, that's not complicated either, right? There's no formula there. It's a basic in and out. And that's what the UCP has chosen to do. I think that given the pandemic and the fact that there's so many people unemployed and the fact that that approach hasn't attracted companies or created jobs should be an opportunity for them to say, okay, you know, and I think it would be fair to say, okay, we tried this, it didn't work, now we're going to do something different, and we're not going to stiff people with the bill of billions of dollars that just walked out of the province. I think that would be fair enough, and it would show a level of learning and seriousness, because I think that's what people are looking for in an emergency. It's what they're looking for in this really tough time in our lives for a lot of families. And I quite frankly don't really understand why Jason Kenney hasn't chosen that path. It is absolutely open to him.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess as well, one of the things that made me reach out and have you back on the show again is because I saw on Twitter that you have decided to run again as the candidate for Lethbridge West. Would be returning as a veteran at that point, long-term serving MLA. What made you decide to put your name forward again?
Well, you know, I had a conversation with my kids, and they're 9 and 11 now, and they're old enough to have some input into this conversation. And you know, they were only 4 and 6 when I was first elected, and they didn't love it, right?
Right.
It is tough. It's tough to be an MLA 500 kilometers from the capital and also being in cabinet and balancing little kids. And my kids will tell you it's not the greatest thing. Having said that, they understand now why, and they think, and I put it to them, I said, Mom could do something else. What do you think? And they thought about it for a while, and they said, you know what? We need to continue to do this as a family.
Right.
There's an ongoing project here for this community in Lethbridge that there is still unfinished business that we can still contribute to. And I thought about that, and that was their perspective as children, you know, and so that really weighed on me that you know, it's not just them that expects me to continue to contribute and be in public service. There's a lot of other folks too. They're the most important constituents in Lethbridge West, but I heard that from the community too. But at the end of the day, I had to make sure my kids were okay with it, because you know, political life isn't for everyone, and it is tough to balance parenting with it. And if the people that it's been kind of toughest on, you know, think that I should do it, well, then I think that's I'm going to respond to what they think.
Awesome. And I guess as well, because I always like to ask any NDP MLA that we talk to up here, because in the Peace region and the Mackenzie area, it's UCP country up here. But down there, at least for the things, so just tell us a little bit about the Lethbridge West riding so people up here in our region can get maybe a little bit of an appreciation for the issues that you would have to deal with, say, as a MLA, as an MLA.
Well, you know, I had a Zoom last night with a bunch of folks, and I heard about affordability for seniors and programs for seniors, right? And how we do need to make sure that we're continuing to fund our seniors organizations and our senior centers and facilities so that they can have those sort of low-cost recreational opportunities for folks, especially now when people have gone through this awful 2020 of feeling quite isolated. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a lot about that. I heard a lot about access to healthcare, economic diversification. You know, I hear as much, we don't have as much oil and gas down here as we do up there, but I still hear about adding value to our oil and gas resources. It's been an idea that's been around since Waheed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are, in the past, there's been all kinds of projects proposed for in the sort of Grand Prairie and Peace region, you know, making stuff out of our natural gas. Making stuff out of refining and upgrading our oil and gas, that's definitely something that is probably a shared priority, you know, the 500 kilometers south and or how many kilometers north as well from Edmonton, right?
465.
See, there you go. You know, I think that those are our shared priorities. At making sure that our kids have jobs that we're creating, and that goes to diversification
mm-hmm.
too. That's a really important thing for folks, and you know, making sure that we're taking the opportunities, whether it's through investing in our college programs or our other trade certificates or university transfer programs, to be able to you know, both get jobs in and attract some of these new technologies. Clean tech investments, other investments that, you know, we had programs to attract and we're moving along. It means that our kids will have jobs to go to here in Alberta. And certainly people in Lethbridge care about that, and I bet they do in Peace River too.
No doubt about that. And I do have to ask this because I did see this on a profile of yours, and I'm a former actual roller derby official in terms of scoring, and even one time I had to put on the skates and be a ref for it. That was nervous as to doing that. So just out of curiosity, is that still something you may do from time to time? Because I know the people, at least when I was living in Ontario, that were into that really were committed to it and they loved it. Have you done that recently? Still any interest in the roller derby world?
You know, I have some friends who play, but I don't think I've been on a pair of roller skates since probably early 2015, I want to say.
Oh.
Maybe once in 16. Like, no, it's been a while. You know, like, there's not a whole lot of time for team sports, but so, you know, I go running, I lift weights. I bought a road bike as my pandemic purchase. A lot of people bought bikes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I treated myself to that, and which is great fun, and I love it. So that's the kind of stuff I do, and most of my time, you know, in the summer is taken up with usually, like, mountain biking with the kids or kayaking or just, you know, managing two boys, which is,
oh boy.
You know, its own form of roller derby, I guess.
that, well put, well put, well put. I have a friend of mine that has 7 children, they can definitely relate to that. Ms. Phillips, thank you so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you. Take care. Have a good day.